Hello. It's noon in Belfast, and I'm Jennifer Hill. Welcome to WBFY, Belfast Community Radio's talk show, Finding Common Ground. We're here live in the basement of Waterfall Arts. So our call letters are 100.9 FM, Belfast, Maine. I understand, are not streaming live because the streamer is down, but we will have the recorded show up in our archive, and those who are listening locally can still hear over the radio. So our website is at belfastcommunityradio.org, though. And our phone number is 338-2277. And I'm here with Betty Johnson, Waldo County Commissioner. Betty is a retired nurse and former owner of Hobble the Hoy Toy Store in downtown Belfast. She has been married for 55 years to a fabulous guy, Bob Johnson, husband. And he's a retired teacher, and she's the mother of six children. Right there, that's accomplishment, right there. So welcome to the program, Betty.
Thank you very much.
Your Facebook page amuses me. Under your name, it says retired. The word just doesn't apply. There's no way that word encapsulates what you're doing. This can't be retirement. You are the county commissioner for Waldo County. You are the treasurer for the Waldo County Democrats. You are a member of the group Aging Well in Waldo County, and lots of other things that I didn't even understand from your list. Are you still the treasurer of the statewide Democratic Party?
Yes, I am. Yes.
You didn't even list that one. Wow.
And I'm also president of the Belfast Creative Coalition.
Oh, wow. Lorraine Brown's group.
Yes.
We've had her
yes.
on the show.
Yes.
So these roles alone would keep a person busy, but you're a person who digs right in and doesn't rest on your laurels in any of these positions. Where does this inner fire come from is what I want to know.
Well, I see a need that people... a need for volunteers, and if I can set an example or whatever, this to me is what I need to do. And I think if I didn't do this, if I didn't do all the things I do, I probably would age quite a bit and very fast. And I don't feel like I'm aging.
I think you're actually going backward from what I've seen over the years.
It's funny because when your kids are growing up, you feel like you're really busy and everything. But I don't know. Sometimes I feel like there's not enough hours in the day to keep doing what I'm doing. And you know what I'm saying?
It's exhausting just watching you.
Thank you.
So where do you come from? Where did you grow up?
I was born in Sioux City, Iowa, and I grew up in Minnesota. And
Minnesota.
Yeah, Minnesota. And it was right in the corner where South Dakota, Nebraska, and Iowa are. So it was really quite the flat line land there. So then when I graduated...
Were you on a farm?
No, I was born on a farm. But my father had worked in a rock quarry, and that's why we moved to Jasper, Minnesota, because they had a granite a mining there. So, but I
went, he was a miner, your dad?
No, not a miner. It's you go in and you break off the big pieces of granite, and then they use it for building and so forth. A lot of the stores and the buildings in Jasper were made of this rock. And it's quite, I don't think it's doing very much now, but then it was, so.
And you went to high school, you were going to say.
Yes, after I graduated from high school, I was trying to decide what I wanted to do, and I decided I wanted to be a nurse. So I knew I couldn't afford
college.
Those
are pretty much the fields open to women, right? Nursing, teaching, motherhood.
Right, yeah. And I knew I couldn't afford college. So I was looking at nursing schools that offered something to help you with your tuition and so forth. And one place was Cook County in Chicago. and the other was Boston City Hospital in Boston. And I decided, I haven't seen the ocean. I don't know what the ocean looks like, so I'd like to go.
Cool. And so, that brought you east.
Rode a bus out.
Now, were your parents political leaders?
No. And my family are the opposite party I am.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Did you grow up a Republican?
No. We really didn't talk politics or anything. That was not...
That was private information.
Right. That was something that we just did not discuss. And I'm not even sure how interested my parents were in politics.
So you must have grown up in the 60s, 50s and 60s.
Right. Yes.
And that the 60s was a tumultuous time. Did you get caught up in?
Well, in the 60s is when I graduated from high school in 1958. And then I graduated from nursing school in 1961, got married in 1962.
So you had your toddlers when you
were... And then I had child after child.
Boom, boom, boom. So now here you are, a county commissioner in Waldo County, Maine. What is a county commissioner?
Oh, that's always interesting. One of the first things I say now, go on YouTube and watch the video that I made with Josh Garrison, how county government works.
Well, this is radio, so a lot of our right. listeners may not be even
right.
going online.
But I'm sure a lot of people...
So tell us in a...
Okay.
We
oversee... the budgets and all the departments. And a lot of the departments are, of course, the sheriff's department, the emergency management, also the 911 communication. And we also have the registry of deeds, the registry of probate, all of those. And the archives are very important. All these things are things that we...
For the county. For
right,
all the
towns
county.
And all the county. We have to budget and make sure that the services are being kept to provide for our citizens.
So. Okay, we have a caller. Go ahead, caller.
I'm not getting this streamed. I was just curious if you're streaming today.
Yes, the streaming is down. I'm sorry. You'll have to listen to the archive. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Bye.
Sorry about that. Okay. So in terms of that, the sheriff's office and the different county governments, you take care of the budget and kind of keep an oversight on what's going
right.
on.
Right, and we hire and fire. However, each department head does bring us their recommendations, and then we have the final say on.
So what would a department head be like? The sheriff?
The sheriff would be the EMA, the probate. All of those have department heads.
Probate. Yeah, the judges.
Yeah, right.
It's a kind of an invisible position, but are you paid for this?
Yes, we are.
How much do you get?
This is my eighth year, I've had step raises and stuff like that. So I'm getting about $15,000, $16,000 a year. And we are considered full time, even though we... have meetings twice a month. But
you work a lot in between.
Well, we sit on different boards and that type of thing as a county commissioner. Because I sit on the Mid-Coast Economic Development Board, and we meet in Damascata.
Mid-Coast, so that's a regional as opposed
right,
to a county.
Right, that's a regional. Right.
And how many counties are in that?
That is four counties.
Waldo, Knox, Sagatahoc,
and Lincoln.
And Lincoln.
Right. And just a corner of Cumberland.
So, a bit of Cumberland.
Yeah,
well,
just
there.
A corner of it. Like one, I think it's Brunswick or something. But I am on the Coastal County Workforce. And that we meet in Brunswick every other month. So
what made you decide to run for county commissioner in the first place?
Well, this is not the first time I had run for a county commissioner. I had been a selectman in Lincolnville. And then I became interested in county government. And so I thought, okay, I'll run for county government. And because I like budgeting and everything, I had been chair of the budget committee in Lincolnville for years. And I thought, okay.
How many years?
Oh, probably 6 or 8 years, somewhere around there. Mm-hmm. I also am chair of the appeals board and also the assessment review in Lincolnville right now.
So you've been involved in your town government.
Right.
How long have you lived in Lincolnville?
We moved in 1982 to Lincolnville.
And so did you just jump right in to politics?
No, I did pretty much, local party type things, but not the municipal. But I started attending some of the selectman meetings and didn't like what I saw. So I decided I would.
You could do better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
And make some changes. And one of the big issues was we had a charter, but nobody seemed to know we had a charter. And so it was being run various different ways. And actually, it was kind of the good old boys club. And I came in and
Did you have any resistance to coming?
Oh, I had resistance. Yes, I did. But
do you think
I
that
love
was
it.
A good thing?
But I love it.
You think that's a good thing?
Yes. Yes, I do. Somebody had said to me, you're like a grandma, and you just sit back in the rocking chair and you rock back and forth and say, well, I just thought I'd mention it. And everybody would be arguing around me. And then maybe one or two meetings later, somebody would bring the same idea, and it gets passed.
That
and that was fine for
lot.
Me. That was fine for me. As
this
long
is a
as
common criticism that I've heard women say. I'll say it. Nobody hears it. A little while
they
later.
They argued about it and voted it down. But then,
and here
later,
it comes up again.
Right, later.
And that doesn't bother you a bit?
No. Nope, I didn't want the credit. That is not important.
Did you?
To me.
Was credit ever important to you?
No, it still is not.
Interesting.
Yeah. I like kind of the background worker.
Wow.
So,
Do you consider yourself an introvert?
No.
You just like to work in the background.
Yeah, I can do the work, and and I enjoy the work, and I don't care if I get the credit for it, the glory for it, or whatever. And people know this. They know that I'm doing it, even though it's not out there broadcast.
Do you think that, I think it's interesting about women that we have been invisible. You're of the same generation, or you're a little bit older than me, where we were called by our husband's names. My first husband, I was Mrs. Michael McIntosh, as opposed to, so my name disappeared altogether. My first and last name disappeared.
Actually, that doesn't happen too much, except when
not now.
You go to sign or call because you have a problem with your mortgage or something. And well, I can't talk to you. I can only talk to your husband.
Yeah, your husband.
And
but isn't that's
that is
old.
A very annoying.
But that did happen all the time.
Right, but it still happens. It really does. It still happens. But
do you think maybe you're a product of your time in that it doesn't bother you to be invisible? Because also the pronoun he is universal.
Right.
Women are considered to be a part of that,
right.
But we're not called out.
Right.
So do you think that you're maybe a product of your time in that you grew up that way and it's okay with you? That
It's okay to a certain point. I just don't like, I feel that I'm a strong woman, and sometimes that's threatening to a lot of people and a lot of men.
And so you don't mind?
I don't mind.
Hiding behind, so letting people take credit.
Right. A lot of times I
think the next generation feels a little different about that.
I'm sure they do.
Do you support them in that?
Yeah, I do. But I also sometimes know that to really get somewhere and accomplish something, sometimes that's the best way to do it. Hmm. And so,
I wonder how your daughters feel about that.
Well, that's interesting. Yes.
Yes. Another generation.
Right. I mean, they see what I do and in many ways they're very, shocked, when they hear the things that I do. But it's not in the paper. It's not gloried type of thing. You know, but a lot of my accomplishments have been.
You know, Betty, I think of the Last Supper. I was sitting in this, you know, gallery looking at this picture and wondering, where are the women? Now, you know the food's on the table, so you know that there were women back then. They were born, these people. But there's not a woman in the picture. And that's okay?
Well, I don't know if I'm going to go that far.
But still, the most important thing is getting stuff done.
Well, I mean, that's to me is essential. And people know you're doing it. I've had many people come up to me and say, thank you for all you do. And, you know, and I just kind of shrug it off and thank them for thanking me. And, you know, but they know. They know.
I'm here with Betty Johnson. Betty is many things. One of the things she is the Wilder County Commissioner. So we get to call her that full time. And the show is Finding Common Ground. I'm Jennifer Hill. And now that we've given credit and gotten everybody's name out there, I will continue. You say your number one goal is to make county government more transparent. What does this mean?
Well, that people don't know what county government entails. A lot of them know that registry of deeds is part of the county government. Also probate, that you can get your passport there. You know, there's various things that people don't know, that this is county government. And sometimes people have the wrong idea as to what county government is also.
So you mean more visible? You want to make them more visible?
Right, visible, but... knowing what we do, one thing I tried to do, and I still want to work on it, is to have us televised, or videotaped, all our meetings with that. And I haven't been able to get that through, but I will bring it up again. And it's amazing how many people come up to me and say, I watched the video, on YouTube. And I didn't know this, and I didn't know that. And I've even had some employees come up to me and say the same thing. So,
does it make sense that some of these tasks could be done by the counties, by the city of Belfast? Why is it important to have this county level? I've heard that argument put forth.
Okay. If the towns, in Maine, we have home rule. So they want to have their governments be the ruling, not Belfast, not the county seat. So by having a county government, you can regionalize a little bit. You can, work closer with the municipalities and try to accomplish something that they could not afford to do. Your taxes, your property taxes would go sky high if it was just put onto the cities. And as it is, we try to really be careful that we don't raise our budgets.
How are you funded, the county level?
By taxpayers.
And property taxes?
Yeah.
Sales?
Right. Property taxes. Now, the registry of deeds are pretty much their own because they get fees and so forth. Mm. But they do bring in some income. But it is the county that funds it, and it's you as a taxpayer that funds it. But what is different is the state actually assesses your property. And in town, in your municipalities, it's the towns, the municipalities that tax your property. So there's like, they aren't always the same. So, but that's what it's based on. So we try to keep it as low as we can, run as efficiently as we can. And some of that's been good because trying to let them know a little bit more what we are budgeting, what expenses are there, and why do we have them?
You've joined in with the Aging Well in Waldo County Group. How does your work with this organization tie in with your work as commissioner?
Well, I finally convinced the other two commissioners to sign in to the AARP Foundation. And so that made
now the AARP Foundation, and that's
a little different than the AARP that you pay money into.
What is that? Association for Retired People? American Association for Retired.
Right. And we did sign in on it. So that made all 26 municipalities in Waldo County age-friendly communities. And that will help with grants if they want to apply for grants or
great.
Whatever
That's
that
great
they are.
News.
So this is one thing that we aim for, and that was one thing I was able to deliver, which
and
was great.
You sit on that organizational group. So do you work with Belfast City Councilors much on issues such as public transportation, which is such a difficulty for so many seniors?
Well, with aging now, we will be working with them closer. It's not just the city, because we have all of Waldo County to worry about transportation. When we did a survey with the aging, we found there were several different focus areas that were really problems, and three that we chose was isolation and transportation and housing. And the thing is, when there's isolation, a lot of times it's due to transportation.
Right.
So they
can't
all tie them. In. So we've been working very closely with WCAP trying to work out. And what we found is there's services there, but people don't know about it.
Really?
So that's what we're working on, trying to get the news out there.
Doesn't look like there's a lot of public transportation going on.
Well, every town pretty well has some type of transportation coming to them, just maybe on a certain day to a certain place. But, if you call or know about it, then you can arrange for it.
A lot of people live at the end of a long road.
Right.
And
right.
They're just their house.
Right.
And do those
right.
Buses come right up into the dooryard?
I'm not sure exactly how they do it for some of the towns, but some of the towns they do stop at the different houses as long as they know where they are,
And people want to age in their homes. One of the things I think would be good is to have food delivered to people.
Well,
grocery stores.
Well, you do have, the Meals on Wheels that do deliver.
But if you can't leave the house, if walking down to the end of the road, Marshall was telling me he thought one of the grocery stores in Searsport delivers groceries.
I understand that they do deliver. And I'm also hearing a little bit that Hannaford is looking into that.
That's great. So, that would really help people stay in their homes.
Right. I mean, there's a bus that pretty well picks up and drops off at Hannaford on a regular basis.
That's for people who can,
But that's, mostly people who are in the immediate area.
That's such important work you're doing.
But I just attended a webinar type thing on transportation and what some of the other communities are doing. Kennebec County, there was a York County group and stuff. And some of it sounds great that we could initiate too. Hmm. So, and it takes a lot of volunteers.
It does, because, you guys don't have
a
budget.
Right, and drivers and
you're
so
all volunteers.
Right. Yeah.
So it's a good organization doing some good work. So one of your many roles is treasurer of the Waldo County Democratic Party. How many years have you served in that position?
Oh, I don't know.
Can you count that far?
I had been county chair for years.
County chair?
Yeah, I was county chair from like 92, 94, somewhere around there, until I probably was 16 years, I'd say, and then
I didn't realize that. And why did you leave that role?
Somebody else,
wanted
to step in. I mean, even now I'm hearing, somebody, I should, get some young people to follow me around and learn the ropes, you know.
That sounds like a really good idea. Right. We all ought to be thinking about that.
Apprenticeship, yeah. You know, yeah. Type of thing. Because the treasurer, there are certain duties that have to happen. In fact, I'm trying to finish right now my ethics report. And as treasurer, also I work on fundraising and trying to, have funds coming in. So
you not only count the money, you raise the money.
I raise the money too.
Make the popcoin.
Right. So
that is a question I had about an exit strategy because, so many of us in Waldo County, as we're aging, you know, our key roles, we really need to, I'm thinking about going over to the high school this fall and getting some interns for the station to write press releases and stuff to teach people how to get the word out about things. So I was wondering if you had really considered that seriously of getting some people kind of in case you should be hit by a bus, which we don't have them in Waldo County. Well, we have a few, but. So have you considered recruiting interns or people interested?
Of course, we have elections every 2 years, and I certainly, if somebody wanted to run for that position, I certainly would help that person out, whatever I could do if they wished it. But it seems like it always ends up being me.
It's an interesting problem in terms of, like, I think of Tom Sawyer and how he painted the fence and made it look like it was fun. Yeah. That must be part of it, is trying to get people to see, this is really fun.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, it's one job that is grunge work.
It's not for everybody.
Yeah. So it's just something that I don't mind doing. Numbers and budgets and things have always been my thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. I didn't train in it or anything, but it seems like every board I sit on, I'm the treasurer for some reason.
Huh. Well, you are a logical thinker, maybe.
So, who knows?
So do you think it's the responsibility of party leaders to engage the rank and file in the process of leadership roles?
Yeah, I think, there should always be an open if people want to run for a position. But you also have that right to run, too. And just because you've been in there for several years or older or whatever, there shouldn't be any reason why you shouldn't run. But, I would like to see some other people get more interested, but I want to see people who are going to do the job.
Yeah.
And I find, some of the younger people, their principles are not the same and their drive is not the same.
And how are their principles different?
Well, I don't think they take the job. And I saw this when I had my store, the young people didn't take the same work ethics that we had when we were younger.
That you expected.
Right, yeah. And this kind of concerns me a little bit that maybe they don't get enough of that in school. I don't know. You take a job, you complete the job. You work at doing your job and doing it well. And you show up on time, you leave, if you're not done, you either report that you're not finished with something or you try to finish it. Okay, it's 7 o'clock, I'm out of here, and it's, the work is all laying there.
Do you think maybe, training some of these younger people, in the work ethic that might help them to have a work ethic?
Oh, definitely, yeah. And with the Coastal County workforce and the workforce, this is what is part of the training for these people to do, is to be trained to understand that there's a responsibility of holding a job. There's a responsibility of showing up on time and doing the work and completing your work. So.
Okay, this is Belfast Community Radio, WBFY 100.9 FM in Belfast, Maine. We are live today in the basement of Waterfall Arts. We are not streaming live. We usually do, but today the system is down. But you can find our station at belfastcommunityradio.org. And our phone number is 338-2277. And the show is Finding Common Ground. And I'm Jennifer Hill, here today with Betty Johnson, Waldo County Commissioner and Treasurer of the Waldo County Democrats. And we're just talking about sort of the next generation and how we do this, how we sort of train the next group coming through. I was thinking if I was going to run for treasurer, it would be an act of running. I mean, you'd have to campaign, I guess. But I wouldn't dare because I don't know what's involved and I have no idea what the rules are. The party recently lost its chair, and fortunately we had somebody who'd been it before who could jump right in. But what about training more people in these roles so that they could feel empowered to run, because they really don't know anything about it, but maybe they'd like to know?
Well, I think we probably could have some workshops.
Interesting.
You know, I mean, I know on the state level we have leadership training. We also had done, and I was part of this, where I did trainings on leadership, training people to be county chairs. And, you know, it's something that people are interested. They'll do it. If they're not, they don't attend. And sometimes you just can't find people who want to give that time. And one of the things, even when I was younger and my kids were growing up, my life was going every direction, driving one here and driving one there, and also holding a full-time job, that it was difficult to do some of the extra stuff. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times it does fall into the category of people after their children are grown up. And you'll see this with selectmen, you'll see this with town committees and so forth. A lot of times when the kids are really small, your life is so every direction that you can't give that time. And I always felt, and now is my time to get back to the community. I lived with the community and benefited from the community. Now is my time to get back. But I had to wait until my children were much older.
Of course, everybody's different. And it does, right. It does, young people bring a different point of view a lot of times.
Well, I think if they attended meetings and become involved that way and volunteer to do certain things, they get right into it then, and they find out a little bit of what this is all about. It's when you just come in and not have any idea and you want to go right into being the county chair or something, that's not a good way to do it. You need to also be a part of the organization and understand what it's all about and what the bylaws are and how it operates.
Yeah, because there are a lot of rules and stuff to the whole thing.
Right.
I think the workshop idea is a neat one, but who knows whether people would be interested.
Right.
So I wanted to ask where you stand on social issues. Where you would you consider yourself a moderate?
Social issues, meaning what?
Moderate. Well, not so much financial. I would say social as opposed to economic. So say, for example, do you support a woman's right to decide whether to proceed with her pregnancy?
I think a woman should have the choice of whatever she does.
And would you support?
And my answer has always been to that is no matter what the woman's choice is, she has to live with that. If she gave her child up for adoption, then she has to live with that. Has abortion, she has to live with that. And also she has to live with the fact that I kept the baby, now I need to, you know.
feed it and take care
right,
of it for the next
it.
20
so,
years.
Yeah. It is their decision.
Do you support free college and the elimination of college debt?
Yes, definitely.
And do you believe in single payer health care? And Maine All Care, the organization.
I think this is, we have to do something.
Because Democrats seem to be very, like Nancy Pelosi, I've heard her say, we're not ready for single payer.
Well, there's, when you start digging in deep, there's
devils in the details.
Right. There's so many issues. And like the All Care right now, I mean, the different questions that are raised are all very good, but they also make you stop and think about it. And, you know, those are important because everybody has a different view of it. Everybody has a different experience with insurance and health care and so forth. So you try to get all that in. It's very difficult. So there'll be some things that probably wouldn't be included. It can always be built on. So it is one of those things.
I think that if we made it so we took away the health care of the Congress, that might make a big difference.
That might. Who knows? Yeah. But, I mean, on the state level here, I mean, if we could get something really going here,
Maine All Care.
Yeah. Right. Then, that's a step. And sometimes you have to take those baby steps in order to take the giant step.
That would be a giant step for people in Maine, I think, to have single-payer health care.
Right.
So there's been quite a rift in the local Democratic Party since 2016. As a member of the local party leadership, do you believe that all candidates are treated fairly regardless of the stand on the leadership and the opinions? In other words, you as treasurer, you're doing a job to be treasurer. Does who you support influence, Betty's the treasurer and she believes this way?
Well, because I am a treasurer, an officer of the executive committee, if there's a primary, I do my best not to let anybody know how I feel, and I try to support all the candidates. And this time it was very difficult because there were so many candidates, and I kept getting invited to
the
house parties.
The second CD?
House parties.
Or the governor race.
Both of them. Both of them. And I kept getting invited to house parties and stuff. Sorry, I can't go.
Because you wouldn't even go to the parties?
Nope, I wouldn't even go to the parties. I would not even do anything that might have showed that I was partial to a candidate.
And you
because
feel,
if I had missed one of them, you know, God forbid.
Because I think it's, like I know in 2016 when Bernie Sanders joined the Democratic Party and ran for president, there was a lot of criticism that the Democratic Party was not supportive of him in that primary. And it must be hard in conversations with people to be rigid about what you're able to say and not say.
Right, it is. And, unfortunately, the caucuses came up, and I had to show my hand then as to who I was supporting because I wanted to be a delegate. And, so I kept very neutral up to that time. And this time, until I walked into the
voting booth,
I did not, nobody knew how I felt about anything. And I get asked all the time. And, of course, I'm also the party treasurer. So I'm also an officer on that level.
So you believe you've been above reproach in this.
Yes.
And you believe in other things, people you've witnessed are
right.
also right. above reproach.
Right. You know, I mean, I've always kept myself very rigid about this. Mm-hmm. And people understand it. And once the word got out that I was not attending any, that I was staying completely neutral, I stopped being asked.
They stopped inviting you.
Right, yeah, right. And that's good because I didn't have to keep saying it.
Yeah, but you missed all those great parties.
Oh, I know.
Some among the Democratic Party believe that candidates need to move to the center in order to win elections, while others believe that the Democratic Party should be sticking to their ideals. What do you think?
Well, I think we should stick to our ideals. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't be the middle of the road, and it doesn't mean you can't be way off to the left. You can be very progressive, and we serve in many ways, too. So I'm kind of in that category. I feel that I'm progressive, but sometimes people...
Practical.
People view me as being more conservative. I remember one time when I was running for state legislator, this was like in, I'm trying to think of when it was, 90, 92, something like that. People thought I was very, actually they thought maybe I was Republican because I was very, I came off as very conservative.
And how was that? Why do you think they
I don't know.
That?
Why? Because we didn't really discuss issues that much. But I guess just my mannerism or whatever, you know. I mean, it's just like, I think you're okay, even though you're a foreigner.
From the flatlands.
Yeah. You know, even though you're not from Maine, I think I'll support you or whatever. You know, it's kind of... I just didn't
but you don't really
like,
get that
right.
It doesn't seem right to you.
I know the one person that I was running against was very progressive, and
in the primary you had a primary.
Yeah, and it was very progressive, and this wasn't for a legislator because that was a very conservative person, but. Actually, I ran against him twice for a legislature, and then I ran against him twice as a county commissioner, and I did beat him.
You finally
as
beat
county
him.
Commissioner.
You lost the first time, but you got him the second time.
Yeah, right. So, and I'm much happier doing county commissioner than I think I would have been doing state legislature.
And so how many times have you've been reelected to that seat?
To county commissioner twice, and this will be my third term.
Well, that's a positive spin on
so.
That.
I hope so.
So I'd like to talk a little bit about how the parties are changing right now. Who would have believed Donald Trump would turn up as a Republican president? Republicans used to be the people with such high standards for personal behavior. What do you think is going on here?
I don't think he's a true Republican. And the thing is, a lot of the Republicans don't either. And the people who are the true Republicans are really, they'll stay home. This is not our Republican Party. And I hear this all the time. And then there's, of course, the ones who are more his followers, that believe in some of the things that he believes in. But the true party is not, what Donald Trump represents.
So what is a true Republican? Because that definition seems to be...
It's not the Tea Party. Okay, and I think that I don't want to elaborate too much more on that because that's very, extreme.
The Tea Party being extreme.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting in future elections to see where the Republican Party goes after Donald Trump. I mean, because a lot of the criticism of the Democrats has been... about this high standard of personal behavior that I don't understand it.
Well,
I
think it is embarrassing to a lot of people and probably to a lot of the true Republicans.
Mm.
So, it's just a thought that I have, but I don't know how true it is or anything.
You served as the president of the Electoral College in Maine.
Right.
That was in 2016. Tell us about that. What was that like?
That was the first time I had won as electoral elector. And actually, because I represented CD2, CD2 went for Donald Trump. So I wasn't going to get to vote at the Electoral College. And then the person...
Is this your first time being on the Electoral College?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
And so...
This is just in 2016.
Right. And so the one who would have been able to vote at large, couldn't make it. And he actually was going to be the president of the Electoral College. So I became president of the Electoral College, having never done it before. It was quite an experience.
I bet. How many people are in the college?
There, you had four.
Oh, just four people?
Right, four people.
Oh, I was picturing a big room.
No, no, because you do it at the State House. And that big mallet there that...
Yeah, there's a picture of you on your Facebook.
Oh, that thing is so heavy.
Clonk.
It makes a loud noise, too. And then switching buttons, too, for a speaker sometimes and things like that. It was very interesting. I have to laugh because my husband said when somebody was making a speech, I sat down. I completely disappeared. They could not see me at all behind the podium.
Well, who would make speeches?
Some of the different electoral voters.
Representatives?
You know, yeah, representatives. They could each, if they wanted to.
So they were standing and making a plea that you vote for their candidate?
No. No, oh. They just wanted to say why they were voting the way they were voting.
No one hoped to persuade anybody to change their vote.
Well,
you know, maybe
we had
did.
A little controversy, but he tried on the first vote to vote for Bernie Sanders, and that did not work. Those votes had to be redone. And, of course, I had to, you know, state the law that he was obligated by law that he had to cast the
so
vote.
So, really, it's just... Yeah. It's not even a meaningful vote.
It was like a protest type thing. And
the vote is meaningless anyway if everybody has to vote according to how they...
Right, yeah, right. I mean, he just representing what the electoral elector ended up being, you know, according to the vote.
And so do you believe in this electoral college or do you believe that we should be going by the popular vote?
I like the popular vote, but I also understand some of the argument with the other. And I know I was asked several times, and I really didn't know how to answer the question. I just told him I wasn't prepared to answer that. I would have to do a lot of research. But the popular vote is what the people are saying. But I also understand the representation of some of the smaller states in order to be
more rural areas.
Right. Yeah. So I understand all that. And so it's one of those things.
I wanted to ask you briefly about gerrymandering, the process of changing congressional districts to draw in the best possible chance of success for the Republican Party. Is that happening in Maine? Or is that
it
something?
It happens everywhere. Yes. Yes. It happens. It has happened in Maine, too.
You think it's going on now?
Well, when it's time to make that change, yes, it will be being done.
Is it just done by the Republican Party, or is it also done by Democrats?
Democrats.
So everybody's trying to draw the most favorable districts.
Yep. Right.
So it kind of misrepresents the whole.
Yeah, and I don't like the way the county got divided up. Two towns go into another district with Hancock County. And Islesville went with the Camden Northport.
And whose responsibility was that? How did that happen?
That's how it divided up. Whoever prevailed.
You weren't a privy to
that
worked.
No, I've never been.
Because they change a lot. I mean,
it doesn't change a lot. It's every so many years.
In 1990, that seems like yesterday to me. Belfast, Islesboro, and Northport were the districts. Now it's Waldo, Belfast, and Northport.
And even my district has changed as county commissioner,
I think it changes.
Too. Yeah. I was a town was added to mine and taken off to.
Now, how come you don't know about that? Because you've been around so long. How did that
happen? Well, I'm not part of that. I'm not a legislator. I'm not in leadership. That's who does it, not county commissioners.
This is Betty Johnson, the county commissioner. What is going on up there and why is this happening?
Yeah. I mean, I don't make law.
Do you ever do stuff like that? Do you ever pick up the phone and say, look, this is Betty Johnson and I'm the county commissioner. What's going on?
No. I don't think that I have that much influence.
Well, Betty, it's been delightful talking to you. I wondered how people can reach you with questions or comments they might have about county commissioner or anything you've talked about today.
Well, I have a Facebook page, actually I have one for county commissioner too, which very seldom ever gets used. I try not to do anything.
What about some of the older people who aren't on the computer? Is there a phone number they can reach you?
Yes, it's 323-3767. And I have an email address, betjohnson@tidewater.net.
B-E-T-T?
No, just B-E-T, Johnson.
B-E-T, John, J-O-H-N-S-O-N.
Right, @tidewater.net.
Okay.
And, of course, I have the district one, too. But, if you wanted to ask me questions about campaign or something, I mostly prefer just to have it come to my personal anyway, even county commissioner business.
Well, it's been a delight to have you on the program.
All right,
Betty.
Thank you.
Thank you so
much. Thanks for asking me.
Yeah.
Okay.
And thank you for listening to the show today. I wanted to say that tomorrow at 1 p.m., I'll be on with Ginny. Her show is What's So Funny? And we're going to be talking about some are people, some are not. And next Saturday, Russ Barber with the Maine Rail Group will be on. And then Bev Stone, a very interesting woman from Waldo County. And then I wanted to let people know that on Sunday, mark your calendars, August 12th, from 2 to 8:30 at the Belfast Boathouse, our radio station is having a summer shindig, which is a summer party, and they're going to have three-legged races and wiffle ball and a barbecue and a dance. It should be really fun. So mark your calendars, summer shindig, August 12th. It's a Sunday from 2 to 8:30. Well, once again, we really appreciate your tuning in, and we will talk to you next week.